I will do my best. Yes, unfortunately, I knew this was coming, and I also knew that I had to preach following that bit of information. So I struggled a little bit trying to find what to say. First of all, I want to recognize and acknowledge that this is big news. We will miss and cherish the time we've had with Nolan, and we will miss him and his family as God pulls them in another direction and uses him to bless another church. But I also want to take this opportunity to recognize what God has done and is doing here at Foley United Methodist Church. I want to start by reading out of the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 21, and I'll be reading out of the Message version. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God, given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All of God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God Himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of His Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Let me read that again. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. I do have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, our Master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. I bring this up because some from Chloe's family brought a most disturbing report to my attention, that you're fighting amongst yourselves. I tell you exactly what I was told. You're all picking sides, going around saying, I'm on Paul's side, or I'm for Apollos, or Peter is my man, or I'm in the Messiah group. I ask you, has the Messiah been chopped up in little pieces so we can each have a relic all our own? Was Paul crucified for you? Was a single one of you baptized in Paul's name? I was not involved in any of your baptisms, except for Crispus and Gaius. And on getting this report, I'm sure glad I wasn't. At least no one can go around saying he was baptized in my name. Well, come to think of it, I also baptized Stephana's family. But as far as I can recall, that's it. God didn't send me out to collect a following for myself, but to preach the message of what He has done, collecting a following for Him. And He didn't send me to do it with a lot of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words. The message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out. It's written, I'll turn conventional wisdom on its head. I will expose so-called experts as crackpots. So where can you find someone truly wise, truly educated, truly intelligent in this day and age? Hasn't God exposed it all as pretentious nonsense? Since the world in all its fancy, wisdom, has never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in his wisdom took delight in using what the world considered stupid, preaching, of all things, to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. This is the word of God. It is true and it can be trusted. So I read that this week after knowing what we were going to talk about today. And it struck me as the perfect passage. Number one, because Paul is very direct. Paul does not pull punches. Actually, the first four chapters in 1 Corinthians is about division, because the church in Corinth had been first brought to church, and then all these other pastors came in, all these other teachers came in, and the church became divided, saying, well, I like what this person says, or I like what that person says. I like the way this person does it, or I like the way that person does it. And Paul was addressing that in these first four chapters. But I love how Paul first starts with this incredible blessing to the church. And he says, you need to stop for a second. Look at where you are. Look at what's going on around you. And pay attention to everything God has done for you. God has blessed you with so many gifts, and he has promised to not leave your side. So I wanted to start there today. And I wanted to take a second and look back at the last 5 years at Foley United Methodist Church. And I want to see if we can see where God has blessed this church and where God has promised to be by our side and never leave us. I mean, if you think about it, 5 years ago when Nolan came, as he said, this was a church that had been through a lot. And it had become kind of a stagnant place. To put it bluntly, it was starting to die. But over the last 5 years, what have we seen happen here at Foley United Methodist Church? We did an Arise movement where we heard God calling us to stand up, dust ourselves off, and not settle for what the world was telling us was the end. But to listen to God and say there's more for us here at Foley United Methodist Church. We've seen a church that was stagnant become a church that was alive again, that was moving again. Look at where you're sitting. We are meeting in the heart of Foley, Alabama, having a worship service for the community. And that's because we heard God's call to say, I want you to be a major part in this community. You can look at the last year at the Be Renewed and this discerning of the four pillars that God has brought to our attention of how we're supposed to be alive, how we're supposed to be a major part of our community. I mean, 5 years ago, we didn't know about this call to be a major part of every kid's life that calls Foley, Alabama home. We didn't know that God was going to use us to use a table to create relationships, to bring joy, and to feed people. We didn't know God was going to use Foley United Methodist Church to have an impact on real life needs in this community. And we didn't know that God was going to challenge us to work towards transformational discipleship in Foley, Alabama. Discipleship that transforms lives, not just teaches knowledge, but discipleship that transforms lives. And let's be honest, 5 years ago we were struggling. We didn't know if we were going to be able to pay a pastor, right? But 5 years from that day, we've got two pastors. We've built the well. We've transformed a space into a contemporary worship space. We've got a huge online presence. we haven't just survived COVID, we've thrived during COVID. I mean, we can't look at these last 5 years without seeing God's hand at work. And if Paul's right, that work's not done. If Paul's right, God says, I will never leave your side. The work I've started, I will be with you as you finish, as you continue. Now, in true Methodist form, when things seem to be going the best, it sometimes feels like the church steps in and says, well, it's time to change. But unlike Methodist tradition, they didn't just make a decision and pass it down the line. They actually worked with us this time. And they came and sought what we were looking for and what we wanted in a new pastor. And then they went out and found somebody that fits the bill. Not only that, but I have my best friend in ministry worked with this new pastor. And when I called him, because I'm a police officer, I'm going to dig and find out whatever I can find out about the new guy. One of the things I found out is this guy has a huge heart for mission, for reaching out into the community and not confining the church to the walls of the building, but to place the church within the community around the building. Does that sound like anything that God's doing here at Foley United Methodist Church? Does that sound like it might fit perfectly with the four pillars that God has brought to us over the last couple years? What I find most interesting is that Nolan and I had a conversation not too long ago where we started praying for God to do something big, to do something amazing here at Foley. What I find amazing is that it's our assumption when we began that it would just, he would use us to do that. That we would both be the catalyst for that to happen. But in true God-like fashion, God knows better. And God knows best. And what I find interesting is that maybe this is how God's going to accomplish that big, amazing thing that we've been praying for. But there's worry. There's doubt. There's unhappiness that comes along with change. And that's why I like the second part of what I read. Because it is human nature for all of us to like certain things and certain people and certain ways so much that we lock in on that and say there's no other way for something to happen. There's no other way or no other person that can get the job done. And it doesn't just happen in the church. It happens all over the place. I've been through four chiefs at the police department. Every time there's a new head guy, there's new people that complain or new people that say, well, it was better done. We did it better the other way. I like the old guy better, or I like the new guy better. It happens in football teams when new coaches show up. Well, this coach isn't as good as that one, or this coach is better than the one before. It happens in major companies when CEOs change. You can watch the stock market and see that happen. It's human nature for us to focus on the people that we can see, the people we have access to, the people that we can talk to. What Paul reminds us is that we don't work like the world works. The world says the better the leader, the better the company. The world says this is the type of person that you need in order to succeed. But God says, you need to stay focused on me. Because you're not dependent upon a person to lead. Because I'm leading. That's what God says. And that's what Paul is reminding the church in Corinth. That you can say, I like Paul, or I like Apollos, or I like Peter. You could say, I like Nolan, or I like John. But none of that matters. Because we're taught that our life is not found in another person, but our life is found in our Master, Jesus. And that the work that gets done in a church, in our spiritual lives, is not done by the pastor. It's done by Jesus. It's done by our love and our focus and our willingness to follow where he leads. Even when that leading takes us somewhere the rest of the world says, this doesn't make sense. But Jesus has made an entire following out of things that don't make sense. That don't make sense to the world. As much as we will miss Nolan, I don't think we can take away from how much Nolan has done for Foley United Methodist Church. But I think it's important for us to remember that it wasn't Nolan, it was Nolan's willingness to follow Jesus in which the work got done. Because one of the things I've just enjoyed about Nolan, and one of the reasons that I agreed to come here to work with Nolan, is because I understood and recognized that he and I shared one heart. That if anything in the Bible describes us, it's that last scripture that I read. That when the rest of the world looks at knowledge and wisdom and education, God chooses to use something the world considers stupid. Preaching. But Nolan and I share a heart in that we understand it's not about us. It's never been about us. That we can stand up here and look like a fool as long as we do it pointing to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that we all seek to follow. And Jesus is the one that's going to lead this church and continue to lead this church long after Nolan and I are gone. Long after the next preacher's gone, long after all of you are gone, Jesus is still going to lead this church. And if we unite together under one head, and we don't put our faith in who stands up here, if we put our faith in the one who stands up there, then we will continue to grow, we will continue to succeed, we will continue to join God in his mission here at Foley United Methodist Church. So as we move forward, as we embrace this new change, I give thanks to God for all the work that he started 5 years ago when Nolan came here, and all the work he's going to continue as we go following and seeking him. When we do that and go forward united under one leader, we will continue to do the work he's called us to. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this morning, grateful for this incredible opportunity to gather together in your creation, and to seek you. Lord, we're grateful that you pour your Spirit out on all of us. Lord, we're also grateful for these past 5 years and all the work you have begun in us. Lord, we're grateful for this, blessing us with this this incredible preacher and leader in Nolan. But Lord, we recognize that he's just an instrument in the work you are doing. And as we move forward with Reverend Bill, we recognize that he too is an instrument that you use. So Lord, as much as the emotions will get stirred, as much as our likes and dislikes will come forward, Lord, we pray that you would always remind us that you're in charge, that you're by our side, and that the work we're doing is your work. That this call to build the kingdom of God in Foley, Alabama, comes from you. Lord, that we will continue to grow and flourish as you continue to be present with us. In Jesus' name, amen.